Charlton Heston, a Hollywood leading man for 6 decades, died last night at his home in Beverly Hills. He was 84. No cause of death was given, but he'd been suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Critic Bob Mondello offers an appreciation.
Here's the Charlton Heston you remember, standing atop a mountain or a chariot or in Pharaoh's palace, declaiming,
"You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. When darkness has covered Egypt for 3 days, your ministers will send for me."
Not for nothing do people talk of Heston's chiseled jaw, craggy features, and steely gaze. In 1950s and 60s Hollywood, the man was a rock, a monument, the go-to guy for biblical and historical epics. At 6'3", with his muscular bearing and commanding voice, he, and it sometimes seemed only he, had the stature to play Moses and John the Baptist, Mark Anthony and Michelangelo, El Cid and Andrew Jackson, and of course, Judah Ben-Hur, the Jewish prince who runs rings around the Romans after communing with the horses that would pull his chariot.
"You're good fellows. If only men were as good.
Remember, I tell you, 9 times around the circus, huh? Rigo, did you hear? 9 lives to live, huh? You must not win the race the first time around. You win the last time around."
That's Heston in a lower key than you usually hear him, doing the intimate, conversational thing that makes his epic characters accessible. He couldn't help being an imposing figure, whether he was playing a principal detective in A Touch of Evil or a reclusive cowboy in Will Penny, his own favorite of his films. But in that Mount Rushmore visage of his, the eyes could go suddenly liquid, making him appear haunted by memories or by grief. There was a vulnerability to him, and it served him well later in his career when Hollywood needed, say, an alpha male to play the Omega Man, or when a sci-fi epic required a sensitive finale, an astronaut on a planet of apes who sees a metal torch on a beach and realizes where he is.
"Oh, my God. I'm home. All the time. We finally, really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you!"
Later in his career, Heston's best qualities tended to be ill-used by Hollywood. He mostly looked grim in interchangeable disaster epics in the 1970s, and in the 80s and 90s, he tried to counteract that image by flirting with Dame Edna on TV, she called him Chuck, and appearing on stage in classic dramas. When he brought one of those to the Kennedy Center in the 1980s, I interviewed him for a local paper. I'm guessing he knew, well into his earthquake airport dynasty period, that any press he got from an alternative weekly was likely to be skeptical. But he showed up without a PR person and sat for photos and answered questions. A few days later, a letter arrived, embossed stationery, typed note above his signature, saying he'd thought the interview went well and thanking me for my time. The first and last note of that sort I have ever gotten from an actor, and an indication, I suspect, of the sort of thoroughgoing professional he had always been, despite the angry political moments and lesser roles that dogged him for the rest of his career. That's how I find I remember him now. Old school, straight-backed, a gentleman. I'm Bob Mondello.